Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. With the price of just about everything going up during inflation, we thought we'd bring our prices down. So to help us, we brought in a reverse auctioneer, which is apparently a thing.
Mint Mobile Unlimited Premium Wireless. I bet you get 30, 30, I bet you get 30, I bet you get 20, 20, 20, I bet you get 20, 20, I bet you get 15, 15, 15, 15, just $15 a month, sold.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Hello, my name's Stuart Miles, and welcome to the Apocalypse Podcast. This week, Apple has held its iPhone event, where it's announced a new 5G iPhones and other accessories, including a HomePod Mini. As expected, the star of the show was the iPhone 12, with four new models. Yes, four new models. An iPhone 12 Mini, an iPhone 12, an iPhone 12 Pro, and an iPhone 12 Pro Max. All four models will come with 5G. Now, the new phones range in sizes between 5.4 inches and 6.7 inches. And a company also confirmed that it would be keeping the iPhone 11 in the lineup, but removing the iPhone 11 Pro and 11 Pro Max. It's all very confusing, but we're here. Don't panic. The new models will not come with a pair of headphones in a box, nor will they come with a charger, but they will come with a Lightning to USB-C cable for those that still want to plug things in and not go completely wireless. And the company also unveiled a cheaper HomePod, the HomePod Mini, but didn't launch the much-rumored over-the-ear AirPods or AirTags. Well, joining me to discuss the big announcements and what they mean for consumers are Apocalypse Associate Editor Dan Grabham and Features Editor Britta O'Boyle.
Hello.
Hello.
Now, let's start in the same way that Apple did with their 70-minute keynote presentation that we sat through this week and briefly talk about the new HomePod Mini. So, Dan, very different proposition from the original HomePod. Do you think Apple have got it right this time?
Yeah, it's an interesting one, isn't it? Because we, you know, it's a sub £100 or dollars smart speaker, which really takes it into the realms of competing head on with Google's new Nest Audio and Amazon's Echo device as well. So they, you know, whereas the original HomePod was more of a expensive Sonos-esque device that really was aimed at people that wanted the very best audio they could get in a one box solution. This is much more sort of have it on the table in the kitchen or in the bedroom. They're a much different sort of proposition, really. So it's going to be quite interesting to see how they can sort of compete within this space, and also whether it's going to be, you know, they've announced some new capabilities for Siri with it, but it's going to be interesting to see how it does in terms of, you know, competing with obviously better voice assistants in terms of Amazon Alexa and Google Assistant as well.
Yeah, and Britta, I suppose it's one of the key things that seemed to be announced last night that kind of implies that whole turning it, you know, in putting it in multiple rooms, is this intercom system.
Yeah, that's quite interesting. I quite like the idea of that.
Do you think you would be tempted to use that, or are you just like most parents, just stand at the bottom of the stairs shouting, "Dinner's on the table"?
Well, I definitely do that, but I do use Google Assistant's version of it, which is called Broadcast, I believe. So I do use that quite a lot. Sometimes, if one of us is in the office outside, then I'd use that to say dinner's ready or whatever. So I can see how it would be useful, especially since it does it on your AirPods and your Apple Watch. So I think it's quite good that it goes across all of your Apple devices. If you've got a family that's well into Apple, then I can see that working.
Yeah, because I suppose one of the interesting things was the CarPlay feature. So you could be coming, you could be driving on the way home,
yeah,
and start saying to everybody in the house, I'm on the way home. I do worry though that this feels like a very similar version to walkie-talkie, which they launched on the Apple Watches. And through all the excitement of the first week of having walkie-talkie on my Apple Watch, I then quickly just turned it off, and it hasn't come back on since. Is this a tech that will follow down that same back of the sofa technique, Dan?
Yeah, I think it will do to for many people, but also, as I said, with outside office or with a bigger home, it can also be useful. I mean, I use the Echo equivalent, but I mean, I guess one criticism is that these things have been on the competing voice assistants for a while. You know, we're not really, you know, we're in terms of we're years on from when these things first appeared. So it's a bit of a strange time to be putting it out there. You know, why couldn't we have had this device 2 years ago? With, you know, the HomePod original HomePod is 3 years old. It was launched, what it was announced 3 years ago, was launched early 2018. So it's a bit odd that they couldn't have done this before and had a bigger range of smart speakers, really.
Yeah, and I suppose that's the final statement here, isn't it? Is that Amazon and Google seem to be so far ahead in this market. You know, look back at even only 2 weeks ago with the amount of Echo devices that Amazon is now pushing on and pushing into, not just sort of round speakers, also spherical in shape with their new Echoes, but, you know, in the car, everywhere else. And it just feels that Alexa is also light years ahead of Siri on that. And so it'd be interesting to see whether this is enough or whether it's just an additional purchase for iPhone Apple fans.
Yeah, I think that's where it fits in, really. It's people that are wedded to the Apple ecosystem, but haven't immersed themselves in a smart home system yet. Obviously, Alexa and Google Assistant are pretty good on iOS anyway. So a lot of people will have these devices, but I guess there's going to be a subset of people that haven't, or they might have one HomePod and add these as extra devices.
Now, moving on to the iPhones, which is the real meat of the sandwich of this event that we've seen this week. Britta, what do we think? I mean, there is a decision here that someone's turned around and said, you know what, people don't want these massive phones. Well, they do, because we'll still sell those, but they also want really small phones. What do we think is going on there?
I think that actually quite a lot of people do want a small phone. I know so many people that ask me how big the 6.1 inch phone actually is when it comes to when they were talking about the 11, they were saying that it was, is it too big, is it not? And obviously the 12 is now the same size, and so is the 12 Pro. But I genuinely think there is definitely a market for those that want it to fit in their pocket. They don't want these massive phones. That there is something quite sweet about a smaller device and that can do exactly the same thing as what the larger device does. So I think there's definitely a market for it. I can see lots of people going for that over the other ones, especially since it's cheaper as well, because if you're changing your phone every year, then it's a lot of money to pay.
3 or 4 years ago, we were seeing sort of compact devices, weren't we? But they weren't as good as the flagship phones. Whereas we're starting to see that trend change, where we're having, quite good flagship phones in smaller sizes, and that's probably going to be a trend that we're going to see from other manufacturers as well, I think.
Yeah, and I mean, it's interesting to see, certainly going from the American prices, that you now within the range, because they've kept the iPhone SE, which obviously they launched at the beginning of this year, they've kept the 10R, which I'm quite surprised at still, and the 11.
It's a big seller, though, isn't it? It's a big seller, the 10R. So I guess that's why they've kept it.
Yeah, so you've now, going on American prices from what they announced this week, you've got $399, $400 for the iPhone SE. And then it seems to be, there's a $499, there's a $599, there's a $699, and then there's a $999. So it's a real kind of, how much of $1,000 do you have to spend? And those prices kind of equate to UK and euros as well. But it's, how much do you want to spend? We've got the size or a device that kind of fits all sort of realm, all walks of life, which is very different from when, even only a couple of years ago, when it was just, well, we've got the big one, or we've got the big one, and that's it. it's like one phone for this year. How do you think that, do you fear, though, that, Britta, that maybe the 12, just the straight 12, is going to get lost in all of this? Or do you think it's got enough? You've been comparing all the phones on PocketLand already, but do you think it's got enough to stand its ground? Or do you think it will be, you either go for the Mini or you go for the Pro range?
Yeah, I have to say, I do agree that you'd either go for the Mini or the Pro, because I think that the 12 has got plenty. And if someone asked me, I'd probably recommend the 12 as a device, mainly because I think that you get an awful lot of features still compared to the Pro. You don't get quite as many camera features, perhaps, obviously, but you certainly get enough, I think, of a phone for that money without having to go to the Pro. So if the size wise, if you're looking for the size, then maybe if you don't have the budget, the 12 is a good option. But I'd honestly think that the 12 mini is a little bit cuter and still offers all of that. And while the Pro will then give you that little bit extra and feel like, especially with the finish, because it looks like it's quite a lot more premium. So I would say that the 12 will get maybe a little bit lost this year, whereas the 11 I don't think did at all. I think it was a really smart option, the 11 last year. So yeah.
Now I'm sure I'm going to get lots of criticism for this, probably from you, Britta, straight away on the call. The Mini does feel a little, it would be perfect for a clutch bag. Just, do you know what I mean? Just to fitting it in there, or for guys who want to wear tight, you know, skinny tight jeans or whatever, just, you know, gets it in there. It's easy. It's small. It's all the other stuff. Am I completely misguided on that?
No, I think that's probably fair. Although if you've got a handbag or a clutch, clutches are quite big these days, or can be. You'd probably fit in the bigger device if you wanted it in there. You could definitely fit it in. I've got the 11 Pro, and that fits perfectly into most of my handbags. So.
I mean, not that you're probably needing to use those at the moment anyway, based on the fact that we're kind of not really going out, or certainly not going to awards dinners and all the other stuff. So Dan, let's flip it over now to the 12 Pro range. What's your standout here?
I think I've got to go with the Pro Max. I mean, I'm all for the bigger phone anyway. So I've got a 10S Max at the moment. So I'm, you know, the Pro Max is obviously the one I'm looking at. But I think, you know, with it, they've gone back this time to having a different camera on the 12 Pro Max as to the 12 Pro, where it, you know, it's a better setup. So that's that. There's a clear definition between the 12 Pro and the Pro Max, whereas last year we were basically looking at the same phone, just a different sizing.
Yeah, so I find this quite frustrating, because I've always geared towards, I don't like the bigger sizes, you know, the Pro or the Max in this instance, and the Plus and things like that, and was always frustrated and slightly annoyed that would always have the better camera, and it'd be like, well, I want that better camera, but I don't want, you know, but I don't want the size to go with it. Do you think that will bother people, or is it just me being a pain?
I think it's going to bother some people, yeah, because like you say, not everyone, you know, we've talked about size quite a bit, but not everyone wants that bigger size. But there's clearly a set of people that are willing to go for the 12 Pro as opposed to the 12 Mini or the 12, because that's, you know, that's what they go for, even though, you know, the sizing of the 12 and the 12 and 12 Pro is similar. But I think that's definitely an issue, but I think that's kind of a bit of an issue across the board with iPhones now. There's actually quite a lot of choice in the range, and it's really difficult to know what to go for, you know, if the with the 11 still there and the 10R as well. So I think it's even a problem further down the range, that people aren't going to necessarily know what to buy.
I mean, I suppose it also, to me, it kind of comes across as this, you know, the Pro Max now is really trying to live up to that professional, you know, Pro title, and is probably going to be one of the, you know, even in the presentation, they kind of had these running horses where there was an iPhone being strapped to the back of a truck, and then it was strapped to a drone and all the other stuff. And it was, you know, it had optical image stabilization, and it had Dolby Vision recording in camera and all this stuff, which I suppose if you're into that kind of industry, then you're going to buy a Pro Max. It's got a bigger screen to be able to view that stuff back on, and it's got the better cameras, and you're using it as a workhorse rather than something that you're going to, you know, take to the pub and drop in a pint of beer.
Yeah, I mean, the Dolby Vision editing was a bit of a wow moment, wasn't it, really? Because you know, we've been led to believe in the past that you're going to need some, you know, some powerful devices to be able to edit this stuff, but actually there it was in the Photos app being edited pretty simply, and you're thinking, wow, that's quite a step up. I don't know how you felt about it, Stu.
Yeah, I mean, I remember going when 4K was just becoming a thing, going on a tour of Sony studios in Los Angeles to talk about, you know, to be talked about 4K and all those other stuff, and there was a brand new camera that had just come out that they were using to film Oblivion and Beyond Earth and a load of other Sony titles, and some other TV shows and stuff. And I think they were like $65,000 just for the main unit or something, just to be able to start to be able to record in 4K. And here we are, probably 5-6 years later, someone turning around saying, oh yeah, you do that all on camera. Now, I know that that's a very brush stroke of an assumption, but you know, it does show that it's moving on considerably with that, and I think that's quite impressive. Britt, I know have a soft spot for design. How do we feel about the iPhones going back to what many people are saying is very iPhone 4-esque in its approach?
Absolutely love it. I love it. I think it's so much nicer than the curves. All the phones are curved now. It's boring. It's got boring. They're all the same. So at least this like shakes it up again for a little bit. They'll probably go back to curved in a couple of years. But I think that the square, I really like it. A lot of people, when you talk about iPhone design, so many people say they like the 5 and the 4S when it went slightly squarer. So I think that the design will go down really well with people that sort of like design or that are into that kind of stuff.
Now, and a bit like when you buy a new car, you're always like, nowadays it's like, what colours it come in? You know, how big's the boot or the trunk? The new colours, I'm not so sure about that gold.
I'm not sure about the gold, but the blue is very beautiful.
The Pacific blue.
Yeah, like the green. I thought the green was stunning last year, so I am all for that blue color. I think it's a bit different, a little bit fun. I love it. I think it looks lovely.
And Dan, given a choice, which I mean, obviously you go for the Max. You're a gold man, aren't you? I can see that in a nice big fat gold chain, some nice rings.
I haven't been a fan of the rose gold in the past, but I have had. I did have a gold. I think 6 plus. And that was fantastic. I really liked the gold finish on that. So yeah, I'd probably go for the gold actually.
full bling-tastic. Danny G in the house.
To be fair, the gold on the 11 Pro is nice too. I just think that the blue's lovely. It's got something a little bit different.
Yeah, it was nice to see on the 12 though that they've gone for this array of colours again. You know, and it's not just the, you know, I remember the excitement. I think when the iPhone 4 came out, it's like either 4 or 5. It's like, it's in white. Oh, my goodness. And now we're kind of, you know, talking about sort of, I'm not sure what that green is called. It's on the 12. It's probably
last year, wasn't it?
Yeah, last year. So I think it's like a mint green or something. They won't call it, they'll just call it green. They won't, you know.
Yeah, the 12 is called just green, I think, this year.
And that kind of follows from the coral and the light blue and the yellow and things like that from previous years as well. I think, as always with these things, it's nice to see, for those that buy them, it's one of those things, it's striking enough that you'll put that on the table and people are, oh, you've got a new phone. That's it, you know, and then it's a talking point, which is exactly what the people that buy them want to happen, which is why, you know, it's never, you've always got to swap the color each year if you are upgrading each year, because then it shows that you've got a new device and that's exciting. Now, talking of new, they've now sort of introduced this thing called MagSafe. Dan, what's that about?
Yeah, so old name, because it was used on the magnetic chargers for the older MacBooks. So it's a bit strange they've revived it, but I guess there's some nostalgia there in a way. And, you know, to Apple fans, it means something, and you know, they will know immediately how it works.
Or probably so, just the trademark man said, look, we've got this in a cupboard, just use this, it'd be easier.
Yeah. Probably they've done all the groundwork on it, so yeah, stopped everyone else from using it. That's right, yeah. So, but it basically, so that, you know, obviously the iPhones have been wireless charging for a while, but this adds some magnets to the back of the phone internally, obviously, that basically clamps the charger on, and so it's easier to place on the charger. Obviously, Apple are going to be able to sell a lot more accessories this way. So there's obviously that side of it. We've seen Apple announce AirPower before, the long rumored AirPower that then died and then came back and then died again. So they've struggled with the concept of wireless charging for a while, I think, in terms of what accessories they should have. So this will hopefully put that to bed. However, you know, it's for a lot of iPhone users, they were still charged via the cable, and obviously a lot of people that have had an iPhone of the last two, three, four years would have a wireless charger of some description anyway, if that's what they wanted. So that they're not going to be any less relevant. So I guess it's just another option, really. I would have thought, really, for most people.
Yeah, I mean, I wirelessly charge my iPhone, and I must admit, every so often you do get that moment where you put it on the chart, you put it on the pad, and you get up the next morning, and you go, oh, I must have knocked it as I was putting it down. It didn't charge.
Yeah, that's a fair point, right?
So that will solve it, I presume. Having only got the information we're going off from the event and stuff so far, I presume it will work in a similar way to the Apple Watch, in that kind of, it just snaps on, it kind of starts charging and off you go.
Is that going to be the case for it?
I would imagine so. That would seem likely, to be honest. I also do what you do. I've knocked it before and then I've woken up and it's not had much juice for the day. So I actually think that this feature will be a good thing for at least it means you get a fully charged phone. You don't have to worry about where you're placing it and stuff. Most of the time it works perfectly, but sometimes it is quite annoying if that happens.
And I suppose the MagSafe then ties in nicely with this move from an environmental issue of ditching most of the stuff that's in the box.
Yeah, I'm sort of, there's several schools of thought on this, isn't there? I mean, one is they're going to save on cost. Mm-hmm. Two is that, it means that it's sort of a more universal thing, because they don't have to, they don't have to include a local plug in the box, because obviously there's localization required and that adds cost and that kind of thing. And there's, like you say, the environmental side of it. I mean, most people would have a charging plug as was. However, the difference this time is it's lightning to USB-C, and most people don't currently have a USB-C, charger, probably. I mean, they might do if they had an Android phone.
No, but I suppose they've got an old USB-A to lightning cable kicking around.
They could use the old cable, yeah. But, I mean, so I guess there's that side of it as well. But, I mean, to be honest, I use USB-C to lightning all the time, because I plug it into a USB-C port on my laptop. But I can imagine a lot of people getting the box and then going, well, actually, I haven't got the right charger for this. So.
Yeah, I've given that charger away, when I sold it, or I gave it to the kids or something. Yeah. Now, what am I supposed to do? What am I supposed to do now?
Yeah, so I can imagine some frustration there. I don't think there'll be much frustration around the headphones, because, people are used to having other headphones, and actually the quality was okay with the last AirPods, but they weren't great, were they?
Over the summer I went, took all my cables and stuff and back to the recycling center and took them recycling. You can actually do it in Apple stores now, they're open as well. I dread to think how many Apple iPhone earphones I had in that box. It was just a whole bag of stuff, which I was like, I'm never going to use all this stuff ever again. I'm just going to recycle it. Britt, do you think the combination here is A, from an environmental point of view, that's great. It does allow you to, reduce the box. It does allow them to reduce the box. The localization thing is also a genius, in the sense that you can just ship them anywhere now, in that sense.
Yeah.
But also it kind of tells us of a distant future, or even a near future, where with the MagSafe, you won't need to have a cable at all.
Yeah, true. And I'm guessing that will be the case in a few years' time. I mean, it is annoying if you've got to actually plug it in. I think it probably will be what the future will happen in the future. And I guess they might be one of the first to do it, but they won't be the last. I'm sure there'll be other companies following suit in terms of ditching the plugs and the rubbish headphones that come with them. So at the very least, hopefully if everyone does it, then it will help the environment completely, won't it?
And then in a couple of years' time, you'd be like, I haven't got a charger for anything.
Yeah.
what am I supposed to do now?
Yeah.
So let's wrap this up then. On the whole, verdict from you, Britta, about all the announcements. Are we excited? Is this something we should, is it a good year for Apple from an iPhone perspective?
I think it's exciting. I like that they've changed the design a little bit. So I think it's more exciting than it was last year, because I know last year they changed it too, but at least this year the actual frame has changed. So I feel like it will look like a different phone without having to flip it over onto the back. So I'm excited. I think it's great.
And Dan?
Yeah, I thought it was a good event, good raft of devices. HomePod Mini, interesting to see where it's going to fit in. But in terms of the phones, I thought, you know, great range. Also 5G, obviously. And, you know, there were some good software enhancements as well. So I was quite impressed, really.
Well, that's it for this week's show. Thanks for listening. Until next time, pip pip.
If there's one thing that my family and friends know me for, it's being an amazing gift giver. I owe it all to Celebrations Passport from 1-800-Flowers.com, my one-stop shopping site that has amazing gifts for every occasion. With Celebrations Passport, I get free shipping on thousands of amazing gifts. And the more gifts I give, the more perks and rewards I earn. To learn more and take your gift giving to the next level, visit 1-800-Flowers.com/ACAST. That's 1-800-Flowers.com/ACAST.